Peter, who has denied Jesus three times, is given three times opportunity to say, you know, Lord, that I love you. You know, Lord, that I love you. And Jesus responds, feed my sheep. Every time I hear this reading, I am reminded, quite a few years ago now, 2004, my wife and I had the opportunity to be in the Holy Land. And we traveled to various of the sites with a group, a guy who was trying to be more than a tour guide. He was actually trying to take us on pilgrimage. And one of the places that we visited was a site on the shore of the Sea of Galilee that is marked, and there's a chapel, and it is remembered by the church as the place where this breakfast took place, the place where Jesus revealed himself once more, but even more significantly, the place where Peter is called by Jesus to lead the church, to feed his sheep. And I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly, it's called the Church of Peter's Primacy, because it's sort of this thing of Jesus sending Peter off or commissioning him. And I remember being there not because it was an interesting historic spot, but because what caught my heart was that my own ministry as a priest in some way traced back to this moment. It traced back to this moment because in this moment, Jesus says, go, go where I send you and feed the sheep. And yes, it's the Apostle Peter, but in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the apostolic work of the church goes on throughout many, many people. And it springs from this place in part. And I'm always touched by the story because I remember standing there on the seashore going, this is where my call also originates, a call to feed the sheep. I'm feeling a little choked just as I'm talking about it, sorry. But as I was pondering these readings today and that image of feed the sheep, I was kind of compelled, I think. I shouldn't say compelled because it means that I could not ask you this question, but I'm going to anyways. How many of you are feeling sheepish today? Feeling sheepish? You're feeling sheepish? Okay, yeah. Yeah. I'm reminded of I used to read Far Side cartoons, anybody? Yeah, okay. More of you know that than anyway. Yes, Far Side cartoons. And one of my favorite ones is there's this picture of a pasture, and the cows are all standing on their back hooves, sipping martinis and chatting. And then one of them in the next frame says, car! And they're all down eating grass. And then the car is gone and they're back up again. You know, it's sort of like, and the reason they came, I know, I have a strange sense of humor, but I obviously many of you do as well, so we'll just all join in this weird sense of humor. But the reason it came to mind was I was thinking about that, you know, feed my sheep, and I think about the sheep. I think about the sheep, and I think they're usually not very sheepish, really, or maybe they are. I don't know sheep very well. But the sheep, actually, it turns out, are something other than what we normally think of. Sort of a little bit like, you know, car! because the line is, feed my sheep, but we have to stop and ask the question, who are these sheep that are being fed? What is it that Peter's being called to when Jesus says, feed my sheep? Well, I want to jump back now to the Old Testament reading. Now, this may seem like a big jump, and kind of is chronologically, but we can do that when we're looking back at things. And the story tells of the people of Israel who have come to Mount Sinai. They have come to Mount Sinai. They've come to the mountain of God. And Moses is talking with God, and God says what? Well, let's back it up a little bit. What's happened is that the people of Israel who have lived in a place of slavery and of death. Remember, the children are being killed and they're being oppressed. And God comes in and acts mightily to free them from their slavery and to carry them out of that place of death and slavery through the water of the Red Sea, through the waters of the Red Sea, into a journey towards the promised land. And when they get to the mountain, God says to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, I brought you out as on eagle's wings. I brought you out as on eagle's wings." And then he says, "So that you may be a priestly people and a holy nation." A priestly people and a holy nation. Now, one could interpret this as to say a priestly nation, a priestly people, because there will be priests. But actually, that's not what that means. A priestly people because the whole people will be a priestly people and a holy nation. Let's jump to 1 Peter, the reading that we had from 1 Peter, one of my favorites. I love it every time it comes up for preaching. Most scholars agree or believe that this letter was written to fairly newly baptized Christians because of the beginning of chapter 2, which talks about, you know, be fed on the spiritual milk and, you know, grow up into, etc., etc. And so you have this beautiful imagery that is inviting them to grow and to be fed. They've come through the waters of baptism out of the old life of death and slavery to sin into a new life of faith and grace through Jesus Christ. They have received the gift of the Spirit. And what does Peter say? He says, "Because you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." The sheep are doing something other than what sheep normally would be considered to be doing. They're not just feeding. They're not just being taken to pastures to be fed and drink the water and say, "Isn't that nice?" And then, you know, hopefully the shepherd will go take care of everything. The whole point of that trajectory is that they have come, if you will, to the holy mountain. They have been brought through the waters. They have been made God's people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Next line, anybody? "So that," oh, you don't want to know this one, right? "So that," why did he do it? "So that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hey, sheep, sounding good? Yeah, all right. So why then today, as we gather to ordain John as a priest in Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church, in the succession right from the sending of Peter on through the centuries down, why are we ordaining John? Because as a priestly people, we call from amongst us people to take that role, that ministry, that responsibility to be feeding the sheep, not so that they can just get fattened up, but so that they can proclaim the mighty acts of him who called them out of darkness into the marvelous light, so that they can be a royal priesthood. We ordain priests because we are a priestly people, and our priests feed us and nurture us and teach us and lead us to be that royal priesthood and that holy nation, so that we might, with our lives, with our words, with our actions, with all that we are, declare the mighty acts of God, the God of love and grace that we have known in Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing today. John takes a particular role within our community, within the community of the royal priesthood. That call that was to Peter is also upon John. But John picks it up, or it gets put on him, really. I guess that's kind of more like what it is. Yeah, we'll put it on you is what we'll do. Yeah, we're putting it on him so that we can become what we are, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, declaring the works of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So today, as we pray for the Spirit of God to anoint John in this special way, and that is our focus, we also keep in mind that John's job will be to give us all a little bit of a nudge. I was using my foot. I don't know if anybody saw that one. I was going to say kick in the backside, but that didn't seem quite, you know, appropriate for the occasion. A little nudge, a little prod while feeding, yes, in order to do that work, the ministry of God's one holy Catholic and apostolic church founded in Jesus. May God's grace be upon us all in this moment, and especially upon John as he takes on this new responsibility. Amen.